Cesaro, you were drafted in the 6th round to Raw. How are you feeling about all of this?
Well, first of all, not too happy to be drafted, you know, what was it, 17th in the 6th round. I have a feeling that I should be drafted a little bit higher. I was hoping to be at least top 10. And then, you know, just looking at the rosters and what the GMs talked about yesterday, how SmackDown is going to be the wrestling show and, you know, all about in-ring product and, you know, all about the superstars and not necessarily about, you know, the GMs and that whole drama. I feel like I would have probably been a better fit for SmackDown, but just like in my career so far here, I figured there's always, you know, a little stumble block and whatever I have to overcome. So, you know, I'm looking forward to being on the flagship product. That's trying to see the positive, being on the flagship product, the WWE Raw, and, you know, that's where Cesaro belongs.
Well, speaking of GMs, how do you think that the Raw general manager Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon being the commissioner, how do you think they'll coexist?
Honestly, that's part of the problem that you just asked me that question, because I don't really care. I think Raw going forward needs to be about the superstars. It needs to be about the performers in the ring and not about how Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley coexist. They need to be there to mediate and make the best show. But that does not need to be the focus. So the focus needs to be on the superstar who got drafted. You know, we have Seth Rollins, we have New Day, we have Finn Balor coming up from NXT. Those are the people we should be here talking about, but we're talking about Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley, which is annoying to me because a lot of people talk a lot, you know. It's always a lot of talking. And you haven't heard me talk that much. It's actually great. I can be here and able to talk, and people can see I can actually speak. You know, my brain can form thoughts that come out through my mouth. The problem is sometimes I stumble words because I speak 5 different languages. We know all that. So the thing is, I like to speak the language that everybody speaks all around the world, the WWE Universe loves. That's the language of wrestling that I do in the ring. That's what I do best. That's why I always deliver. It's all on Raw.
It's been a long time coming, but we can finally talk about wrestling again. Welcome to Blah Blah Sports, the wrestling edition. We're talking about Battleground. We're previewing the pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, July 23rd. Benny with you, along with Sean and Steve. Guys, before we get into Battleground, we have to talk about what went down on Tuesday night. Of course, recording this on a Wednesday night. The draft. Let's just dive right into the draft. It was a combination of a little bit of a cluster and something that was anticipated, and I believed it let us down for the most part. But I really want to hear, Sean, your opinion, both of your opinions, actually, on what happened last night. Let's start with Sean.
Well, before I give my opinion, I just want to remind people I am the official Blah Blah general manager of Raw. So if anything, I would say the draft seemed very one-sided, and I'll give you a guess on which side that seemed like. Clearly,
it has 3 letters.
Yes, it does. It's 3 hours long.
It's red.
Yeah,
3 hours long.
I thought
letter for every hour.
I mean, I thought that the presentation with you know, them going back and forth every 5 picks per round, I thought that was fine. I didn't mind that. You know, the format was okay. I kind of would have liked them to explain a few more things, especially when it comes to the NXT draftees, you know, whether they could have, because in the grand scheme of things, and spoiler alert, they didn't choose Nakamura or Joe or any of them. They chose Finn and Nia, and that's about the most high profile people and American Alpha that they got from NXT. But, you know, they probably should have put in there something like, oh, you can't draft the NXT champion, or you can't draft Nakamura because he's going after the championship, or something like that, just so that we're not expecting something like a Nakamura to show up when they have no plans on having him being drafted.
I want to ask you, though, like, saying that you can't draft someone because they're going after the championship, isn't Finn, like, isn't everyone technically going after a championship?
Well, I guess the one problem is that it is a spoiler that Nakamura is going to be facing Joe for the title. But maybe they could say something like Nakamura has in his contract that he has to be in NXT. You know, he has a written contract for this NXT
yes.
title match or something. Some ridiculous concept that he has to stay there. But, you know, again, as far as the presentation goes, I thought it was fine. you guys were saying that Steph and Mick and Shane and Brian were kind of not great.
Yeah, there was a lot of awkwardness there.
I didn't get hear too much of them. I had it on without sound up very high, so I was seeing most of the pictures come in.
You are very lucky that you didn't have to listen to Stephanie.
I was pulling double duty last night. But the only thing that I really think that they dropped the ball on as far as the presentation goes is we didn't get to see any live reactions. Was drafted, we didn't get to see any of them react. Because I'm sure some of them were shoots. Like, they didn't know that they were going to be drafted certain places.
The closest to a live reaction on the show we got was when Kevin Owens came out to have his match, and he wasn't drafted yet. That was about the closest we got to a live reaction, where he was just frustrated, and he was like, walked up to Shane and was like, why didn't you pick me? And then he walked over to Stephanie and he's like, what about me? And that was, see, I liked that, because like, I wish that like Dana Brooke would have maybe have done something like that or something like that. Cause like, you had matches where guys weren't drafted yet and they just did their match. And it's like, oh, well, maybe you thought you were the top pick, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
something like that.
But. And they've done it before. Like, the very first draft, they had the room filled of people, and you have the great part of Undertaker freaking out because he just got drafted to Raw. I wanted something like that. That's what I wanted to see, and they didn't do that for some reason. Apparently, on the network version, or the post show on the network and all that, they did go to a locker room with people in it, but they never showed it on the TV, which is weird, but
before we go any further, Steve, I want your opinion on the draft, because I'm ready to lay into this thing, but I'm sure you want to pounce all over this thing as soon as you
go
can.
Go Monty Brown on it.
Yes.
The pants.
Marcus Corvon.
The draft was, for the most part, a step in the wrong direction. SmackDown got buried yet again. Another thing I'd like to mention is we didn't need those unnecessary scrub matches in between every five picks. That was just terrible. So bad. God.
I will give him credit, though. They had a lot of picks on television. You know,
and no, that was good. That I will agree with that. That was good.
When they did the first one many, many years ago, they only
had all the
20 picks.
Picks
on TV, and then the rest were on the website. They had what?
The one I
30
remember.
This
the one
time?
I remember when. I remember the one with John Cena where he got drafted to Raw and then, or drafted to SmackDown and then drafted back to Raw. How many picks did they do on TV for that? Was that all of them?
Well, back then it was probably like. That was different. That was a lottery draft, so.
Okay.
They probably only did like maybe four or five, maybe six picks per show. It wasn't that many.
Okay. I vaguely remember one where it was like a substantial amount of picks were on the show.
Yeah,
but,
that was the very first, the inaugural draft.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of then. But before we get into the history of the draft, I was bothered by a lot of things in the draft. Number one. I don't believe that like Stephanie, Mick, and Shane and Daniel had to be out there the entire time. Like, you could have wrote like, okay, after the first two rounds, okay, then Shane goes to the back or Stephanie goes to the back, and then it's just Mick and Daniel, and then later in the rounds Shane comes out and Daniel takes a break. Like, you could have done that.
I mean, but, like, they're both in control of the show, so like it's
I know.
It would almost
I know.
Be like
I understand it's a group effort, but
it would almost
I,
be
I
like
it,
if
seen...
in the NFL in the war room, it's like, okay, you guys can go away for a while. Now let's switch places and then, you know, do musical chairs. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't make sense for them to not both be out there.
It wouldn't, but I don't know. Just I didn't need to hear that much Stephanie, and I definitely didn't need to hear that much Shane, because Shane's not fantastic on the microphone. I know he flubbed up a couple of lines early on in the draft.
He called Seth Rollins CrossFit Jesus,
and Steph did not let him get away with any of his flubs.
Nope, She called him on every single one like a jerk.
Damn.
and then of course Stephanie does her thing where, you know, like it or hate it, she does her thing where when she picks someone, she has to give that voice in there, Kevin Owens, and it's like, stop. Just chill.
I really liked how she like butchered the New Day's entrance. Like, don't you dare be sour, cause New Day is coming. Hooray. That was really bad. It was like, Steph, just if you're going to say it, like, learn what it is.
It's almost as bad as when she was dancing with the New Day.
Oh, I liked Triple H dance with the New Day. He had moves.
She was dancing to Seth Rollins' entry song on Raw.
Oh, yeah, when she was headbanging. I remember that.
Okay, chill out, Steph. But let's dive into the dichotomy of the draft. I used a big word there because I'm trying to use big words. I read a dictionary today.
Whoa, mind
blown. You read an entire dictionary?
I read one page out of the dictionary. Anyway.
And he's like Ben Stiller in Dodgeball. He likes to get a mental pump.
Let's dig into the dichotomy of the draft.
You said it twice. It must be written.
Let's talk about some of the guys that were picked where they probably shouldn't have or were picked too early. Steve, in your mind, who were guys that were picked a little bit early?
Baron Corbin.
Okay. Elephant right out of the room. Baron Corbin.
Oh, God.
There was no need for him to go 19th.
And also the fact that Kevin Owens was so low on the list and the fact that he wasn't in the top 10 is appalling to me. Is absolutely appalling to me.
I just want to talk about some people that were taken after Baron Corbin. Enzo and Cass, Gallows and Anderson, American Alpha, Neville, Cesaro.
Oh, don't make it sound like Neville's some big thing.
No, but Neville or Baron Corbin, which one would you rather have?
Personally, Neville, but you know, it's not like Neville's like this hotshot guy. Like, I mean... Okay. He wasn't being treated well when he was healthy and on TV.
No, but
I'm surprised
he was
ahead of Cesaro, of all people.
But he's from Manchester.
We'll get to Cesaro in a second. But you bring up an interesting point about Baron Corbin, is that Baron Corbin more than likely shouldn't have been taken in the fourth round. Probably the fifth or the sixth round would have been where Baron Corbin should have gone. But the fact he was taken ahead of Enzo and Cass, American Alpha, and Gallows and Anderson is just... To me, that's that, like, and Cesaro as well. That's a little bit of an insult. But Sean, I guess you can have the floor with Cesaro if you so choose.
I mean, yeah, Cesaro's too low. I mean, he was the third to last pick on the show. You know, then
28th
that's,
pick overall,
yeah.
Sixth round.
Then that's not good. I mean, they drafted Natalya before him, Neville, Nia Jax, which we'll get to in a second with the NXT people. Ziggler, who is he even still a thing? I'm not sure.
He tries to be. He damn sure tries to be.
If you watched, I saw the interview, but the Dolph Ziggler interview on the during the draft special on the network when they're talking to him, and it's like they literally said to him like, "You haven't won a lot of matches recently," and he's like, "Yeah, and I haven't stole the show either."
Well, at least he's honest.
Big Show before Cesaro, really?
That ticked me off. That legitimately pissed me off.
And then, as you mentioned, Baron Corbin. And if Miz wasn't...
Natalya as well.
I said Natalya.
I used to say Natalya.
If Miz wasn't champion, I don't think he would have been picked as high either.
No. I also want to point out that both the contenders for the U.S. and the Intercontinental title were not taken until
late.
TV went off there. Yep.
They were late.
They were very late. These are guys that are contending for your title.
Also, I would like to also point out that 90% of the tag team division is on Raw, along with the championships.
Yeah. So they're going to have they're going to have the tag team division. They're going to have the women's division. They're going to have the cruiserweight division. It's like, what does SmackDown get?
What do the tag teams on SmackDown and the divas that are on SmackDown, what do they have to aspire to? Are they gonna get a saga with Randy Orton if they win?
I don't know. They haven't established any of this yet, and I honestly don't think that they know yet what they're gonna do, even though they've had 2 months to figure this out.
Yeah, part of me believes that, like, Sean, you make a good point. Part of me believes that, like, this is all very incomplete.
Yeah.
And I feel like they wanted this for ratings. Like they're right now they're desperate for ratings, so they went ahead with the draft. Well, probably they should have built out the rules a little bit more so this draft had a little bit more esteem to it. But I just think they're so, I'm going to say desperate, but to that degree with ratings, they just wanted people to watch.
I'll give them credit because they did have some rules to the whole thing as opposed to the original draft, which had zero rules. I don't know. I mean, obviously they wanted to make the first live SmackDown you know, mean something. Important. And yeah. It did well. It did very well. It did like a 3.2 or something in the ratings, which is very good, all things considered. But I don't know. Like, and I'm looking at the draft thing right now, right here now, and like, Raw went back to back Reigns and Lesnar.
Probably that, wasn't smart.
That's not a good look. Orton being in the top 10, considering he hasn't been around in almost a year.
9 months.
That's not right. And I thought that nothing against Sammy, but he went a little high too.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, like, that was one pick that bothered me because I really was kind of hoping Sami Zayn would go to SmackDown. Like, at that point, let's look at
SmackDown.
Well,
here's the other thing. They should have split up Zayn and Owens. Why are they on the same show?
They should have.
The whole point
of this,
yeah, the whole point of this feud is that this is going to be the last time. This is the blow off. This is the last time we're going to be able to see them in the ring together. And now they're going to be on the same show.
And now I feel like what they're going to do with the feud now is, like, whenever they don't have anything written for either one, they're just going to go back to that. So we're going to get this, like, every 4 or 5 months, a Zayn Owens match. I'm not against it, but.
In terms
of telling the story, it would have been cooler, and it would have flowed a little bit better if Zayn goes to SmackDown, Owen goes to Raw. They have their separate success from the brands, and every now and then during like Money in the Bank, or SummerSlam, or WrestleMania, or Royal Rumble, they meet in like one of those like the Rumble, and like they have a moment where we go, they still hate each other, and this is still something we want to see because you're showing this way too many times.
And it also, it kills the match on Sunday because we know that this isn't the last time that they're going to be facing each other. So we've been building this whole thing, and the commentary has been, this is the last time they're going to be facing each other. This is the end of their rivalry. Well, no, it's not, because they're on the same show. They're bound to cross paths. Like, it does make sense why it wouldn't continue if they're not on this, if they're on the same show.
I will give the draft this. The first five picks, I felt like they got that correct in terms of storytelling. They got that correct. You know, you figure Seth Rollins is quote unquote the man and he's the authority guy.
Yeah,
obviously,
it would make sense for
one.
Steph to take Dean Ambrose.
Yes. Dean Ambrose going number two to SmackDown, obviously. And we'll get to my big surprise, but it makes sense for Dean to go to SmackDown. Drafting Charlotte with the second pick for Raw. I like that because it's a statement pick. And it's okay. I'm fine with that.
I guess Steph forgot when she was calling Charlotte a piece of garbage after the whole Ric Flair thing.
Oh yeah, no, I distinctly remember that, Charlotte.
Yeah, I guess Steph forgot. I didn't forget. She probably.
Or the WWE is going to go, that never happened. What are you talking about? AJ Styles going number four, and then of course we'll get into the NXT draft picks. Finn Balor going five. That's where I think Finn Balor should go. So using that as a transition, let's talk about the NXT picks. And we'll start with Steve here. Steve, the NXT picks were Finn, Nia Jax, American Alpha, Mojo Rawley, Carmella, and Alexa Bliss. Are you okay with that group, or is there someone that you would have wanted to see? I mean, Bayley aside, Nakamura aside, Mojo aside. Is there someone else that you would have rather have seen than those six?
I mean, with over half of the NXT picks, I was like, they're not ready. What are they doing going up there? Like, I mean, I know we talked about it before, but like, if Joe and Nakamura, like, the whole point of the draft is they drilled it home for weeks, like, anybody can happen, and they're saying, like, oh, Byron, you could get taken to SmackDown. It's like, yeah, anybody is eligible to be drafted anywhere. You can't say that and then ignore, like, the majority of the top guys in NXT. Like, yeah, we got Finn. That's cool. I'm great. I'm happy that Finn is on Raw. That's great. But we have Nia Jax and Carmella and Alexa Bliss. It's like, are you, like, really? Out of everybody in NXT, we have those three? But,
I can understand, I mean, the Nia Jax one, just because she's a monster, and maybe that storyline-wise, that might appeal to, like,
and
you know,
Sean,
Steph.
And Sean, she's not like most girls.
Yeah, I was just going to say, she's not like most girls.
She's really that, not.
And it's not a lie either. That song is very true.
I know.
You know, guys, Nia Jax really is not like most girls.
This just in, blah blah special.
But you know what? It's like, you have six NXT picks. Realistically, who could you fill six spots with, other than you're going to have to throw some people in there? You know, some people that you might not look at being ready for the main roster. And I'm not saying that
NXT,
everyone is ready for the main roster. Nia Jax is not ready, although she's going up anyway. No. Carmella's not ready, but she's going up. Mojo can just he can leave. I don't care. He's garbage. So clearly he's not ready. But, you know, they're going to come up anyway. You know, Apollo Crews wasn't ready when he was brought up, and
no.
He's
I would have been fine. I would have been fine with like, a Ty Dillinger even.
Yeah.
A lot of that's what I got a lot. And a lot of people texted me saying, oh, where's Ty Dillinger? Where's Ty Dillinger? And I'm thinking, Ty Dillinger's literally about to turn a corner. He's kind of in the Alexa Bliss category where it's like Ty is really starting to get over in NXT. I kind of want to see what he has down there and if he can work his way up the card.
Well, the problem is in NXT, they're not using him well either.
No, they're not.
And he's so over, but he's just being fed.
Yeah, he's being fed to that Cien Almas guy that Lita can't say his name.
Andrade, oh, yeah.
and his name is probably 10 times more than 10, right?
Probably. More than likely.
That was the best one.
Cien's 100, right? That's way better than 10.
Yeah.
But guys, by that logic, the fact that like Cien is beating Ty Dillinger, why couldn't Cien be drafted up? Like if he's beaten Ty Dillinger so many times and he's like this up and coming star.
You know what? But there was a talk that possibly instead of Mojo, they were thinking about bringing up No Way Jose.
That you were just, I was going to get land. To that.
Which is insane, but whatever. I think it just boiled down to the fact that if they wanted to, they could put Mojo with Zack Ryder, and that's a tag team.
Yeah, the Hype Bros are back. Great.
And, like, I look at Mojo, and more than likely what he's going to be doing is he's probably going to be, I don't want to say enhancement talent, but he'll be, like, glorified enhancement talent. They'll probably feed him to like Bray or do a thing. Like
I don't know
that.
About that. I think honestly, I really think that they're going to put him and Zach together again, and that's they're going to be part of the tag division.
That would be just a bummer for Zach because he was actually starting to go somewhere.
But like, I guess
if there were guys that were benefiting from before this draft, it was Zach Ryder. Post draft, Zach Ryder might be a guy that doesn't benefit from the draft. That's just me.
Well, apparently he benefits from everything because you can get beaten by Sheamus every week and still get a title match. That's amazing.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It means Sheamus means nothing.
Yeah, but you know what I feel like is the biggest issue with this draft is the fact that a lot of guys who could have been drafted to SmackDown and been used better as opposed to just staying stagnant in the mid card were put on Raw instead. Raw. Like Cesaro, exactly. He would have been much better used on SmackDown as opposed to
Sami Zayn
being stuck in the mid-card. Zayn maybe as well. Kevin Owens, tell me if in any way that he's going to be used in a more high-profile spot now that the draft has happened. And because you figure you got Rollins on Raw, Reigns is going to be there. They're going to be feuding for the title. You have Finn Balor is going to be having a high profile slot on Raw somewhere. Brock's going to be coming in at certain points.
Jericho, Sami Zayn.
You got all these guys, and you can't tell me that Kevin Owens is going to be in the title picture anytime soon because I don't believe if you say that.
No, that's complete. It's apparent. It's crystal clear that he's not going to. The only thing I'm wondering about, and I've read some like murmurs here and there, just various like theories from people, but do you think that we're going to get any type of secondary titles for SmackDown now?
Well, they have. You mean like the world title?
They have the.
Like how it was back in the day when Raw was the WWE Championship and SmackDown was the World Heavyweight Championship. Because they've been making it. They have making it like really abundantly clear that Dean Ambrose is the WWE Champion, and they used to be very meticulous about saying the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, from what I've heard, they keep going back and forth. They can't make up their mind yet, and they might not even make up their mind until after SummerSlam.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be.
Because if you remember, during the inaugural draft back in 2002, they only had one champion, and it wasn't until by some stupid thing that Brock took the title over the SmackDown, and then that's when the Raw got the World Heavyweight title. So they could do something like that where for some reason the title or they could just introduce a title. You know, they can make up whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah.
My belief is that we're going to see Raw's going to have after Sunday, Raw's going to have the WWE title. They're going to have the United States title.
For your predictions.
That's just me. Come on. I mean, we'll get to the predictions later, but that's just to me. They're going to have the United States title. They're probably going to have the women's title there. And I've gone back and forth as to whether I want the women's title to float or to be on one brand.
Well, of course they're going to have the women's title there. She's not defending the title.
Yeah, it's a tag match again. Because, you know, the women's championship just doesn't need to be defended.
When was the last time she defended it? Was it against Paige?
Yep.
It was against...
I think it was Paige.
It was against Paige on Raw.
It was Paige. It was Paige. Yeah. Yep. That was a while ago as well.
And that's another thing. She got split up from Alberto.
Yeah, she didn't.
Paige and Alberto are on the same show.
Money in the Bank. She didn't defend it at Money in the Bank because that's when Natalya turned on Becky.
Yeah, and then the night after, didn't they do the Paige match?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30-day clause. Come on.
Come on. But I've gone back and forth as to whether I want the tag and women's title to float. It would make sense for the tag to float back and forth because you're going to have to freshen that up a little bit. But for the women's division, like, I know you don't want it brand specific, but if you're pulling Becky away and you're pulling other women's wrestlers away from the title, to me, that defeats the purpose.
Yeah, and I think the biggest deciding factor is going to be the fact that you can't, because they're going to run two double house shows, and you can't have the champion, all the champions on one show and not on the other. So you got to either decide who's going to be on which show, who's going to be traveling which brand, or you got to give each one a title.
Now, the other monkey wrench, before I let you go, Steve, the other monkey wrench of the situation is the fact the cruiserweight title is going to be on Raw.
Well, hold on.
That should be on SmackDown.
They didn't say title. They just said cruiserweight division.
It's just a division. I'm sure it will end with some kind of title, though. I mean, why else have a division if there's no title?
They've done weirder things.
Yeah, Sean, you're right. Once again.
But anyway, Steve, I'll let you go, and then we'll start to cycle out of the draft talk here and go to Battleground. Okay.
My question is, I was just like, if they're gonna split the title belts again, mm-hmm. which kind of is airing on that side, do you think they would go as far to do the double tag team championship belts again, like the WWE and the World? You think they would? I think they would. Yes, I was gonna say the same thing.
I think absolutely they could. I think they could go as far as having two women's belts.
That would be. Oh my God.
But the weird thing about having two women's belts is like. I mean, you can divide like the heavyweight championship, the WWE championship, the world tag team champs, WWE champs. It's like, what do we have? Like, this is the blue women's champ, and this is the red women's champ.
They're
going to do the color.
Yeah, they'll take out the red from the background and they'll put blue in it.
Oh my God! Because at least with the other titles, there's like a clear delineation. But this one's like, no, you're a blue lady and you're a red lady.
I mean, like, what could you do? You could do the WWE Women's Championship and then, like, a variation of the World Heavyweight title, but I don't know how you do it. Like, the WWE Women's Bantamweight title?
The World's Ladyweight title.
I mean, granted, this is a very different time, but the women's title, after they decided to stop having it on both brands, and I'm going back to 2002 again, it stayed on Raw, and it was... SmackDown had no involvement with the women's title for years. They barely had a women's division over there on SmackDown. Their women's division on SmackDown was Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson.
Yeah, you're right.
So they didn't really have one.
It's not a bad looking women's division.
No, but there's no actual matches going on.
No, there's just a bunch of butts and legs and stuff like
obviously
that.
It's different now because you have actual people over on SmackDown, actual women on SmackDown that can wrestle and should be in a division. I would not be shocked if they just, I don't know how they're going to call them different belts. Like, unless you refer to one as a women's title and one as a divas title, but they're not going back to that.
Oh,
so,
God, no.
I don't know what they're going to do. If it was me and I was making the decision, I would just have it float between the two, just the one title, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
And that's all something that needs to be worked out. Again, that's why I feel like this entire draft was very...
We still have many questions.
Oh, we have many questions. Like, where the heck is Heath Slater going to go?
Yeah, that's the big one. That was the first one that came to my mind.
That's the biggest question. He's the hottest free agent. Yeah. He's the hot... I wouldn't say biggest, but he's the hottest free agent in sports entertainment right now.
God bless Heath Slater, but I really hope he runs with that gimmick. Like, I'm the hottest free agent in WWE, baby.
He can show up on both shows.
Like, You know how they had the shirts for Raw and the shirts for SmackDown. I just hope he has a shirt that just says free agent and he just walks around both brands.
Why not?
He just has a black shirt that says Slater on it. I'd be fine with that for him. That'd be funny.
He's trending worldwide. I am the outcast.
He'd be like the perfect guy to do a goofy thing like that because he knows what he's worth and he would do it.
And he probably would be very good with it. He'd probably run with it for a very long time. And
Before I have an aneurysm with this, let's go to Battleground, please.
Are you sure that's going to make things better?
Oh no, it's not. There's a coronary coming. I can feel it.
not in the least bit. All right, let's go to Battleground and a card that has matches that I am interested in looking at, but I know how they're going to end, and thus I am not interested.
Oh, confident
in
seeing
this, but,
are we?
Wow.
Confident in that however I'm going to go is going to be the opposite way. That's what the WWE does.
We have 8 matches, so what are we looking at? 2 and 6, maybe?
Maybe 0 and 8. I might just pull it to Detroit Lions. But anyway, let's go with a match that I believe it's probably going to start.
Well, that's another thing. They haven't announced a kickoff match.
They haven't announced. We don't even know if there's going to be a pre-show.
Like, no, there will be.
A pre-show match. Like, what's going to be in the pre-show match? Like,
I don't know.
We don't know.
Well, they've thrown stuff together like the day before, so you never know.
Maybe it'll be Kalisto versus Sin Cara.
I think one of the matches will be moved. That one of the 8 matches will be moved.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
But let's go with a match that I think is probably going to start. I think we'll probably start with the Intercontinental Championship match. I think that's safe to go.
Oh, what a hot opener.
Yeah, what a hot opener. Miz versus Darren Young.
I think that Darren Young should just let Bob Backlund get in the ring and he wrestles.
That would be amazing.
One of the best parts of the after show, like the thing that was on the network, one of the best things was Bob Backlund losing his mind on Darren Young. That was one of the funniest things we've ever seen.
That's what Bob Backlund does.
He's just crazy. I love it.
If you ever have an opportunity to have him put the chicken wing on you, don't do it.
Because he'll hurt you, for real.
He will hurt you.
It's crazy.
The crowd's pop to the chicken wing on SmackDown was amazing.
Well, that's because they thought that someone was being sodomized, but other than that.
Yeah, and that Darren did that really over enthused atomic drop. It was like, easy there, Darren.
Yeah.
Stop hurting guys' butts. Oh, wait.
He's probably happy because he's finally being used.
Oh, for 1 month. You know
for 1 month, and then he's going to be just another
Carter
with a gimmick.
Where did he get drafted to? Did he go to Raw? Where did he go?
He went to, I believe.
Yeah, he did go to Raw.
Yeah, he went to Raw.
He did go to Raw.
Went to Raw, so he's screwed.
Yep, there it goes. Bye,
Bob. He'll be jobbing to Sheamus in a little bit. Anyway.
Oh, so wait a minute. So if he went to Raw, then didn't Miz get drafted to SmackDown?
Yep.
This is SmackDown.
Oh, so this match is for the title, for whoever gets the Intercontinental title.
Ryder went to SmackDown and Rusev's on Raw.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder how this is going to go.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, let's make our picks, because I doubt any of us have an opinion on this match. So, Sean,
I mean, you go ahead, Sean.
Miz.
It has to be
Steve.
Miz. It has to be Miz.
I'm going Miz as well, and hopefully they do that.
I mean, and even more so, I just don't see anyone else to put the Intercontinental title on right now, like, other than Miz. Unless somehow magically Cesaro got in the mix, but like, he'd be the only other person I'd want to see vie for that title. I mean, Darren Young, yeah, this gimmick with Bob Backlund is like funny for a laugh, but I don't buy it as like a legit gimmick. It's like, okay, this is kind of just funny.
Well, let's see. Who's on SmackDown that they could put it on? Baron Corbin?
Baron Corbin.
Oh,
I was just about to say Baron
God.
Corbin.
Del
heel
Rio?
Versus heel.
Demon Kane?
God.
Bray Wyatt.
He's above that.
Quickly, I feel the migraine.
Has Bray ever held a title?
No.
He hasn't. So you can't really say that he's above the IC title.
Sure, he can. He's not.
Because he's never.
He shouldn't be a mid-carder.
Yeah, he should not be a mid-carder.
True, but that would raise the esteem of the belt. But anyway, let's move on from the Intercontinental title match, and let's move to Becky versus Natalya. So this has potential to be good. I hope it's a good match, because I only want to see it once, and I hope it's a really good match, and I only see it once because I don't want to see it again. But all right, let's start with Steve. Steve, your opinion on Becky and Natalya.
It's going to be Becky. It's just going to be Becky. if they make her lose again, it's going to be like, what are you doing to the poor girl? Come on.
Like, and also, what is this, like, what does this win do for Natalya? Because, like, obviously she's not going to be in the championship picture.
It continues the feud.
She's a worse heel than she is a face, and that's saying something.
When you think about it, SmackDown's going to need someone on, some kind of divas, or not, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be saying divas, some kind of women's feud on the show, because realistically, who else is going to feud on that show? Is Alexa Bliss going to do something?
I think what they want to do is they want to build a feud for the women's division, a lot like what Owens and Zayn have. But Owens and Zayn was built over like a decade.
I understand that, but they're going to want some kind of marquee women's feud on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if theoretically, let's say even if the women's belt does flip between shows, Sasha's going to be challenging for it. So,
you got
another month you need to kill. And the way that you kill it is Natalya goes over and you get another match between the two of them at SummerSlam. And that's why
I'm
picking Natalya.
Are you telling me you wouldn't want to see Carmella versus Eva Marie?
Oh, God.
I thought Eva Marie went to Raw.
No, she's SmackDown.
Eva Marie went to SmackDown.
Did she?
Or Alexa Bliss versus Naomi.
Well, yeah, regardless, Natalya's going to win because they're going to continue the feud. And also, like I said, they're both on the same show, so they're gonna keep going with it. And the only way that this can keep going logistically is Natalya wins.
Okay, well, Sean, you're more than likely, Sean's probably right, but
Sean's
I'm going to take.
Right.
He is always right.
That's
because
I use logic.
Sean, you use WWE. Sean Stradamus.
No, you don't just use logic. You use Vince McMahon logic. That's what you use.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
You have tapped into that man's brain, and I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. But I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go with Becky. I'm hoping Becky wins because I kind of want to see good things from Becky. And it's about time that, you know, she actually won a feud. But anyway, okay, so we got Miz, Darren Young, Becky, and Natalya. Let's move to a match that I think we're actually kind of excited to see. John Cena teaming up with Enzo and Cass versus The Club. I have loved almost every second of this little feud they have, from hashtag beat up John Cena to the promos from Enzo and Cass. I don't know if you guys saw, I believe it was on Raw, the promo with New Day, Enzo and Cass, Club, and the Wyatts.
Of course, it took up an hour.
That match took way longer than it should have.
Hold on. I loved the promo, though.
Oh, well, no, the promos are because you have some of the best talkers in the business right now. It was hysterical. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
I would have been okay if the promo went a little bit longer and the match didn't go as long.
I'm just still trying to figure out why John Cena doesn't know how you're doing, what that is.
Yeah, I know. Like, I guess they're trying to play him up as, like, the old crotchety veteran that doesn't know, like, hip terms. But it's like,
he used to be a rapper.
He used to be a rapper. Yeah, like, that's something he would say. I mean, unless they're playing up the whole, like, well, I'm from Boston and you guys from New York. We don't have the same slang. I'm from Beantown.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, man, they're going to turn on each other.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. John Cena heel turn. Finally, 13 years coming.
How could he team with these two if they're from New York?
Oh, my God. It's like the Boston Red Sox and the Yankees Dongers working together. Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. By the way, I saw Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
It is awful.
We could do a whole other show about that.
I just have one question. How many fart jokes are in the new Ghostbusters
There's
movie?
Like 10 within the first 5 minutes.
Oh, great.
And the whole
way to empower women. How many fart jokes can be crammed in 10 minutes?
Every man is either an idiot, an asshole, or evil.
Yeah, and they...
I saw the RLM review of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's pretty much spot on.
I guess they did cutaways to the director. I'm assuming that's the director.
Yeah, that's the director.
Whenever he would say, he goes, I just start bust out laughing. I'm like, I was busting out laughing because I know that's wrong. I'm like, how do you as a grown adult sit there and listen to Melissa McCarthy make a fart joke?
He was also
oh, it's great.
He was also going on how, like, you know, all these four women, they have such great chemistry. And I'm just like watching the movie. I'm like, these actresses have zero chemistry with each other.
Like I said, we could do a whole nother show about this, but
on the Blah Blah main show, episode 72, we did a full review, spoiler filled review of Ghostbusters. What's that?
What is this new episode called?
I think we called it Pickle Sucker. I'm not sure. You have to listen to the episode to figure that one out, but.
I gotta catch up on my blah blah.
It has a very lengthy, spoilery review of Ghostbusters, and let's just say, the entire movie, I sat there miserable the whole time. It was.
I think after we finish this our podcast, I think I'm gonna go listen.
It was the worst experience of my life. Well. I thought that BVS was depressing. Ooh.
What was worse? I was going to ask you, what was worse, Batman vs. Superman or Ghostbusters?
I would say slightly Batman vs. Superman, just because the editing in that is just so atrocious. That's the only tiebreaker I can come up with.
Wow, yeah. That is a... Wow. Okay.
All right, hold on. Independence Day or Ghostbusters?
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Okay. Don't let Jason hear you.
No, I'm saying Independence Day is better.
Oh, okay.
I thought Independence Day was terrible.
It is.
All right, final one, and then we'll get back to wrestling. The movie we reviewed, Hideous or Ghostbusters?
I laughed more during Hideous.
Oh my god!
Oh god! All right, let's get back.
Cena, Enzo, Cass versus the Club. Picks. Let's make our pick. Steve, make your pick.
LOL Cena. Amore, big cash win.
Yeah, I agree. Sean? I agree, because if they're splitting up the club, there's no reason for them to really get a win here.
It would make,
you know, especially if AJ's, because AJ's going to keep feuding with Cena more than likely. Yep. So even if the club did get a win, it wouldn't matter, because AJ could just keep going with Cena as opposed to the club on Raw doing something. Especially if, let's say that Finn does join up on Raw. Then there's no, like, the club could just be like, oh, now we're better with Finn, you know.
However,
they want to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean, you know what Gallows and Anderson being together on Raw means?
What does that mean?
We get to hear more Omen in the guys.
Oh, no.
Yes.
How's the song go? It's like, da 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 da, Omen's in the guys.
Oh god!
I can't wait for the skeletons to come back.
Oh yeah, here we go.
What's the actual title for that song?
Well, I don't know.
It's Omen in the Sky, Benny.
Omen in the it's Kevin Owens and the guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a weird ska band.
Who cares? Well, I'm taking Cena, Enzo, and Cass. I think in terms of story wise, it makes sense for the club to lose. Then Gallows and Anderson not really turn on AJ, but just say, hey, maybe we should go our separate ways. AJ's
well, they don't have
focused
a choice.
On Cena.
Yeah, they're gonna go regardless.
I know. Okay, so we have three matches down. Let's go to Rusev versus Zack Ryder.
Rusev.
I'm assuming
moving
this,
on.
This, yep. Rusev.
Yeah, Rusev.
Okay, good, great.
Machka. Machka.
There, we just
right,
killed 5 minutes.
There we go. That's... just completely gotten past that. All right. Sasha Banks and a player to be named versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Okay.
Should we predict the partner and then predict the outcome?
Sure.
No.
Why?
No. Let's predict. I'm kidding. I was being facetious.
Oh.
Let's pick the partner in our opinions. Okay. So, Sean, who do you think is going to be Sasha Banks' partner? Oh, and a quick note. Is she going to be a hugger?
Oh, I thought you said something else there.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, man, you can't say that.
did the hug life choose her?
I don't think, no, I don't think it's going to be Bailey, because if that was the case, then it means that this entire draft is useless. Because why wouldn't she just be drafted if you're going to bring her up? I know it's not a big surprise, but then again, they're not building this matchup very well, so who cares? That's why I'm
plus,
thinking,
like, before I let you continue your point, plus using Bailey's call up for Battleground, like, you'd want to build that up a little bit better. You'd want to use that for ratings. Let's say you want to use, you want to debut Bailey on a Raw,
but,
or a SmackDown,
but why,
post SummerSlam?
Why even now? She's going after the NXT Women's Title.
Yes,
she's busy.
Get it back.
I don't understand. Well, anyway, I think it's going to be an older diva, or, well, I guess they would have been divas at the time. Maybe a Trish or a Lita. I'm going to say Trish, just because. And I think Sasha will win, because she needs to win.
Yes.
So that she can face Charlotte at SummerSlam, and then that's when you do the switch.
Now, before I let you go, Steve, I'm going to make my prediction. I, too, believe that using Bailey here would be really, really stupid, because it basically makes the draft look pointless. And again, this is, in terms of the story, this makes no sense, because Bailey and Sasha have beef. I understand Bailey and Charlotte may have some things there as well, but it just makes no sense for Bailey to be in this tag match. With that being said, I like the idea of using a veteran. I like the idea of maybe Alita, because, you know, she actually still is kind of around. And, you know, as big of a curveball that would be, I think Alita would probably be a little bit more ring ready than Trish.
I don't know. Trish does yoga.
She does. She does.
Wait, is it DDP yoga?
Maybe. I think so.
Oh, wow.
And if you use that logic, then yes, I think Trish probably would be a little bit more ready than Alita. But in terms of being around the ring every day, I can't see Lita just being around the ring every day and not doing stuff.
It's also a tag match, so you're doing,
yes,
you know, you're
lesser
doing half
things,
as much,
yes,
work. So, you know, it's
with that being said, I think the WWE is going to do something really stupid, and I'm going to apply my logic card here. I think they're going to pick someone like Naomi, and this is going to be really dumb.
Is she healthy? Is she ready to go?
Oh yeah, she's back in action. She's been cleared.
Well, that would be dumb on Sasha's part. Look what she did to Paige.
Yeah, and also, really, also, when Naomi went out, they were feuding because Sasha said she was better than Team Bad.
And Naomi's on SmackDown. Didn't we talk about this already?
Yes we did. We did.
This is the perfect dumb thing for them to do, is to put someone like Naomi into this feud that has no business being here, just because they want to surprise you. Like for instance, the big surprise, who's going to be Miz's opponent? And it's just Kane.
Is there an echo in here?
I heard that before.
anyway,
I guess, Steve. I guess, you know what? It's going to be Karma. She's going to come back.
Oh,
yes.
No.
I'm fine with that. Go.
We don't need that.
Predictions finalized. You cannot back out.
I agree with Sean. I heard it somewhere. I just wish I could remember where, but I could have sworn I read or watched or heard something saying that, like, the older divas, or I gotta stop saying that term, older women's wrestlers wanted to get a special match or something, and this would be the perfect opportunity, because, you know, it's like a, not a gimmicky match, but it's like the perfect opportunity because it's a mystery partner or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be like Shawn Michaels, and her tag team partner is going to be God.
And in the grand scheme of things, this is a special match when you think about it. You have Charlotte, who's probably one of the best women's wrestlers to date, versus Sasha Banks, who very well at the end of everything could be the best women's wrestler ever. But yeah, this is a special match.
Is it against the rules to have Rick as her partner?
Hey,
you know, maybe they'll go the route of Santino Marella and just put a dress on him.
I don't think WWE is going to get back in the habit of doing any mixed tags, especially with a guy and a girl versus two girls. but what's after this, Benny?
After this is Zayn versus Owens. It is definitely not going to be the last time we see these two in action. So there goes basically the buildup for it.
I'm just going to get this out of the way. I'm just going to say Owens. I feel like it's going to be Owens.
Sean?
I don't know. I honestly don't know because I honestly could see either one winning. And to me, if this is going to continue, like I've been saying for months, Owens would have to win. However, if it's not going to continue, Sami Zayn would win. However, the fact that Sami Zayn was taken before Kevin Owens makes me wonder if Kevin Owens might win because, you know, they want to give him a little shine or, you know, do something with him.
I'm sorry, Sean. I'll let you go. I'll say my piece later.
No, I was just saying, that's why I think I have to take Kevin Owens because it's just weird that Sami Zayn would go not only ahead of him, but that far ahead of him and not have some sort of reasoning for it other than the fact that Vince doesn't like Owens.
I'm going to take Kevin Owens as well, but I just want to say this. I really wish these two would be split up because, again, I'm okay with seeing this match. I actually enjoy this match. They always do something new whenever they meet up, and it's interesting. But I would have liked to have seen this begun to be played through other ventures, like, for instance, the Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank. And I know it's been played through that before, but another year of that I would be okay with. But, Steve, you want to say your piece.
I just want to say one thing about Kevin Owens. For anyone that watched the network the continuation of the draft on the network, Kevin Owens showed up at the announce table, and he cut one of the most seething, cutting, like, just angry promos I've ever seen. He was it was kind of friendly at first, but like then he laid into Renee Young, and oh my god, you could like there was legit anger in there for being drafted so low. He was like, she was like asking him questions, kind of like, I don't know if it was uncomfortable, if she was just kind of like smirking because that's what she does, but he was like, don't you smirk at me, I see the little smirk. And like he really just cut into it the way he was delivering his words. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was a shoot or if he was supposed to be like that, but if that's going to be the kind of Kevin Owens that's coming around now, like not like as comedical and like trying to be like funny by being angry, but being legit angry, that promo was like, whoa, Kevin Owens is like really trying to make a point. Like, well, he's really trying to be serious.
I mean, you can notice from those, what were they calling it? Draft Central interviews that they were doing. They weren't scripted. Those were all the talent off the top of their heads, and
because Kevin Owens, there was some legit frustration and anger in there. Sure, you could see it, like it wasn't that typical cocky, like arrogant Kevin Owens. It was like, no, I'm mad.
It's interesting you bring that up because we talked about it off air before that it looked like Del Rio was really mad during his interview. Obviously Cesaro looked kind of upset. A lot of guys looked upset on these interviews, and I don't know if I'm reaching out on a limb here, but I kind of feel like the locker room is not very happy with the way things are going.
We've been hearing reports of that for a while now.
Does this
small look into it.
And also Sin Cara and Simon Gotch got in a real fight backstage.
What the hell was that all
about? Yes, I heard
about
that. And that shocks me because Simon Gotch.
Sean, you know where it happened? You know where it happened? It happened at catering.
It always happens at catering. what was the issue? Did they say?
They didn't release it, but apparently it took a decent amount of superstars to break it up. It was like a brawl.
See, I assumed that.
And from the way the report I read was phrased, it looked like it was mostly Sin Cara's fault.
Well, I assume
Botch
that Simon Gotch used a racial slur because, you know, he's from a bygone era. So he's,
you know, they could say that, they can say that stuff.
He's
back
not
then.
He's not used to the PC era.
he's just spouting out racial slurs. He's like, I don't know any better. I'm from like the 20s. It was okay then.
What a gimmick!
Wow, just totally not breaking kayfabe.
He is sticking to that thing till death do him part, man. And
his house is
literally.
I've actually read reports that Simon Gotch and Adrian's house, they're in black and white. They live in black and white.
Oh, nice.
They live literally. They have the light thing just constantly in their house. They just walk around.
They have no TV.
I dropped the remote on the couch. Where is it?
They have no TV. They have the big tube radios, mm-hmm. and like they have record players.
They're so committed to kayfabe. They have a car that you need to crank start.
Yeah, they have one of the old like Fords. They're like.
They drive around and they look at like they just have a spotlight on that's hooked onto the top of their car, so whenever they drive around, they're constantly in black and white. Before we go down any other crazy roads, let's jump to I'm taking Kevin Owens as well, so all three of us took Kevin Owens. New Day versus the Wyatt family. This feud could go a variety of ways.
I'm not sure about this at all.
At one point, I thought the Wyatt family was going to eventually challenge for the tag titles. They still could, but now it looks like New Day might retain. Sean,
They're not defending.
No, it's just a match. It's not a title match. I was actually just going to point that out.
Oh, I forgot about that. So who do you think is going to win this? I mean, could the Wyatt family? They could still possibly win this, but like, where would that win take them?
What is the Wyatt family? There is none anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say there's. I'm assuming on SmackDown that obviously Eric Rowan is going to work with Bray Wyatt. This is just an assumption. I mean, I feel like I'm correct
unless
on
we're
that.
Get the hype rose with Rowan and Raleigh.
Oh God! And but I mean, like maybe since they're split up, there could be some dissension within the Wyatt family to create a distraction to give New Day the win. I don't know. I mean, in my heart, I really feel like the New Day is going to win because it would be pointless for the Wyatts to win because like you guys aren't the Wyatts anymore. Like it wouldn't make sense to me.
And Bray's track record is he does not win feuds. The only feud that the Wyatts ever really won was against the Shield. So I guess I will also go with the New Day. You know, they're the only ones sticking together, and maybe they want to keep them hot for whatever their title program is at SummerSlam. It could be Anderson and Gallows. Maybe that's what you do at SummerSlam. I mean, that would be a good way to get them there. And then Bray can go off on SmackDown with maybe Rowan and take over that show.
Braun Strowman's going to become a Rosebud again.
If I had to pick a winner, I think I'm going to go with the Wyatt family, only because I want to think they're building Bray up a little bit, and obviously they want to build Braun Strowman up, but I just don't know. I mean, like this feud has been interesting, but the draft kind of threw a monkey wrench into it. So, we all made our picks, I assume, with this.
Yeah, no, yeah. New Day.
You're taking New Day, Sean.
Yeah, I already picked
Sean's
New Day. Yeah,
you take New Day. Okay, so. Let's put a pin in this conversation for the review, and we'll go on from there. But all right, let's talk about the Shield triple threat match that probably should be happening at SummerSlam, with all things considered. But you have Roidman Reigns versus Seth Rollins.
Oh, Benny, hold on 1 second. You forgot about the highlight reel.
I
forgot. Yes, I did. Okay. All right, Shield triple threat aside. Randy Orton's going to be on the highlight reel with Chris
Jericho. Do you think they're going to talk about Brock Lesnar?
I can only imagine, considering the lengths that they've gone with Roman and Seth. I'm sure that Randy will take some shots at Brock.
Did you notice?
You mean the guy that beat Mark Hunt
on anti-estrogen pill, on anti-estrogen supplements? Yeah.
Did you notice the promo that they showed about Randy Orton on Raw? I think it was. They literally replayed the WWE 12 commercial with
Randy
Orton.
It was the exact same thing.
From 4 years ago.
Isn't that great?
I'm glad they're getting use out of that, just that fantastic video package. I thought it was cinematography genius.
Well, they went back to a time when Orton was relevant.
Yep.
I really want to hope that like Kevin Dunn or Triple H were like walking by the archive room and some intern was like flipping through things they were going to throw out. And he was just playing, like he was throwing CDs into a computer and like playing whatever file was there, and then they play the Randy Orton thing, and Kevin Dunn just goes, "What the hell? We need that for SmackDown."
It was actually Raw.
Raw? Who cares? This is a, like, you can't tell me you couldn't have shot something or you could have just put together a package, or you could just not done that all.
They probably literally went into their database and went Randy Orton package, enter, and they saw like three clips.
They have like a WWE YouTube to like use this again.
And they were like, "Huh, this is old enough."
I can assume they got some other things when you Google Randy Orton package.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Moving on.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, by the way, and again, waste of Chris Jericho on this show.
Oh, big time. Big time. Big time.
He's not in a feud or anything. He's going to go back to Raw.
No, you know that Chris Jericho is going to catch an RKO. It's just bound to happen.
Is Orton cleared? Because last I heard, he was not medically cleared.
Well, then in that case, maybe no RKOs. He'll break his shoulder again. As long as he doesn't take out any garbage during the highlight reel, he'll be okay.
This is
fact. I do want to say though. Speaking about Chris Jericho, I heard a really interesting rumor as to why you can't buy a stupid idiot T-shirt, which is something that I've been interested in buying. That's because the rumor is that Jericho said in an interview to a radio station, which, again, I'll get to later, that the reason he's not selling that T-shirt is because he's so committed to his heel character that he doesn't want to give the fans something they want because he wants to be booed.
I can totally believe that.
That's a damn good commitment. I'm going to applaud that man. That is a damn good commitment to kayfabe.
I mean, this is the guy that takes signs out of little kids' hands and rips them apart. I mean, he's like, he knows how to sell it being a heel.
And also, he was doing a similar thing back in 2008 when he turned.
Yes.
And, you know, he wasn't selling any merchandise and all that.
I love the fact
that he came out on SmackDown with a red scarf.
That was great. And it looked like it was a piece of the t-shirt.
I'm sure it was.
Ripped off.
Yeah. That was great.
What do you think about his new goatee?
That's fine.
I think he looks like even more like a dad.
I looked at it. I was like, dude, you could have just shaved that. But anyway, all right, let's move from the highlight reel to the Shield triple threat. As I was saying earlier, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the first topic. How is the crowd going to react to Roman Reigns?
I was about to point out the response to Roman being, oh my God, that was probably, he has been booed. Like, he has been booed, but everything falls in comparison to that. Oh my God, they hate that man.
I literally just want to watch Battleground just for that. And then, just for the reaction the fans going to give Roman Reigns.
Where was SmackDown? Was that in Providence? I don't remember.
It was in Providence.
Where was it?
Worcester. It was in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay, which is not known as a large crowd. And
it
that's
is, no, just it's, out, not. It's just it's outside Worcester. Of Boston though. It is near Boston.
All right. Well, that's the kind of reaction that Roman Reigns got from being announced. I can only imagine when he walks into Washington D.C. and his music starts playing. What kind of
I know that they will not give up on this guy just because it's WWE, but like if they don't turn him heel, it's insane. He has guaranteed that he will never be cheered for the next like 3 years, I feel like. Maybe even longer than that. But he has completely killed any little type of like chance that he could somehow get over with the fans.
And the worst part is that you know for a fact that they're going to chant steroids at him.
Oh, there's going to be, I can only imagine the chance they're going to come out of Washington. Oh my God.
Steroids. And it's going to keep escalating and escalating and escalating until they either pull the microphone all the way down on the crowd to where you're going to hear it over, Cole's microphone, and it's going to be amazing. But I have to ask Sean a question, or actually both of you a question. When Randy Orton got popped, was he a heel at the time?
What do you mean?
Because I know that Randy Orton was popped for steroids a couple of times.
We don't know what he was popped for because they don't disclose that.
He had a drug problem, like a legit drug problem. That's what he got popped for.
I remember he had an issue with painkillers for a little while.
And you can get popped for those.
But this was back before they started doing their wellness policy. I don't know. Cause he's had what, two official violations, even though really it's more than that.
Yeah. I know it's like three, which should get you an automatic release, but I know they docked one or something. They like to keep Randy Orton around, and again, I don't really care. But like, I'm just trying to understand, like, the I guess you could, like, the background to this whole situation, because like, babyface is getting busted for drugs when they're not necessarily over normally is almost a telltale to get them heel.
Well, this was
but
also
Reigns, they're gonna.
This is also like what, 3 or 4 years ago, the last time he tested positive for something, and he wasn't being forced down our throats at the time. You know, we weren't rebelling against him. This is just the wrong guy at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing.
To quote Paul Heyman in a way, yes.
Quote Paul Heyman.
But Paul Heyman said, "You are the right guy in the wrong place." It's the right guy at the right time in the wrong place or something like that.
Oh, I wasn't even trying to do that.
I forget what he said. I'm probably botching that quote altogether. But okay, so booze aside, I want to address another elephant in the room. And I don't know if this is just me, but I'm kind of getting bored with the Shield. And I mean, like, not to knock any one of the three, because they're all fantastic. But it's just...
Hey, you have every right to.
This is a match that I felt shouldn't have happened right now, and it should have happened at SummerSlam.
No, they shot that proverbial... they took that shot a little too early.
Wow, it's all because of the draft.
Yes.
It is completely.
And I understand it's because of the draft, but still, to a point, I really wish this match would have just happened at SummerSlam, because this is a high-profile match. And again, We'll get to another point I made with a certain interview later, but like, I really felt like this is a match that a lot of people want to see, and I'm not wrong in saying that. A lot of people wanted to see this match. Me getting back into wrestling, getting accustomed to who's who, seeing the Shield, hearing about the Shield, going back and watching some of their matches. I want to see this match, but not at Battleground. And I understand what they're doing. They want to make every pay-per-view big, and they want to make every pay-per-view special. But this is not the pay-per-view to do it, especially when you have the party of the summer, the bash of the summer happening in another month.
Benny, they don't do the Great American Bash anymore.
Yeah, no, they got canceled.
They don't, but you guys understand what I'm saying. It's like, also, I don't think we needed back-to-back days of title matches.
No.
I don't think we needed that.
No, obviously not.
I think...
But
maybe a promo between the two would have been fine.
But you want to talk about the elephant in the room. The real elephant in the room is the draft, because that's what's causing us to do this match. Because clearly they weren't going to have all three guys on one show. So if you're going to do this match and you want to stick to these guys on this each show, you have to do it now, because there's no other time to do it. So that's why we're getting it now. I mean, it's not as hot as it should be. Mainly because Reigns isn't there, mainly because Rollins is not playing the correct character, and mainly because Dean Ambrose as a champion is not only in a way transitional, because it's what it feels like with him, but also he's a desensitized champion, because he's other than the one promo he had on Raw, he's been this happy-go-lucky, making jokes, babyface champion, which is what they love, but it doesn't always work for everyone. Case in point, Dean Ambrose. Case in point, Sheamus when he was doing it. Reigns when he was doing it. You know, it doesn't, unless you're John Cena, and many people can argue it doesn't work with him either. It just doesn't work.
And you make a good point. Now, I feel bad that like Dean Ambrose is being treated this way and being written the things he's written, because he could be a really good champion. He really could be the unhinged, crazy champion. Almost a Stone Cold-esque champion, where he does crazy things every night, and those dastardly authority figures just can't seem to catch him or get him to lose
that
title.
Is he a Pokemon?
I said, catch him.
Gotta catch them all. Yeah. Gotta catch them all.
Oh, I have tons of Pokemon Go stories, by the way. Just insane Pokemon Go stories. I hate that game. But, I hate that game. I'm an avid Pokemon fan. I hate that game. But anyway, back to the Ambrose. I just feel like he's a guy the fans wanted to see become a champion, but he's not being treated I almost feel like he's like after this he's gonna be back in Cesaro world, where it's like, oh, the fans love him, but we never
now,
really
look, well of... luckily for him, he's on SmackDown, so yes, he's not gonna get lost in the shuffle over there.
No, he'll be one of the SmackDown six, so to say.
Ooh, who would be the SmackDown six now?
That's a good question.
So they would do it again, but
before we go back to that, let's just pick a winner here, and we'll wrap up Battleground, and then we'll move on to other topics. But I'm gonna say Seth Rollins, is gonna win the triple threat. Sean.
Oh God, could you imagine if Reigns wins?
Oh my God, that would be the biggest F you to the fans. Like, he cheated. He came back and he won. Like, wow, you really don't care about us at all.
Oh my God.
Should I pick Roman Reigns?
I mean, you know what? I wouldn't be the craziest thing you could do.
How many people
do you think would cancel their subscription to the network after that?
Not many. I think all those people are just all talk. They don't do it.
Yeah, they love to just say that because it's a good like it's a good like FU type of
it's like saying you're at work or no, you're in like a group doing a project at school and a kid's like pissing you off and you go, well, I'll just walk away, I'll just leave, and then people are like, no, that's kind of what I feel like it is.
Or it's like when people comment on YouTube, like, I'm unsubscribing from your channel, yeah, just so okay. You know. It's like, oh,
and then the next month they're like, oh my God, they blew my mind with this thing. Well, I thought you were unsubscribing.
Yeah, how did you watch?
Yeah. I'll go Seth Rollins just because they would be certifiably insane to put the title on Roman Reigns now. So I'm going to say that they give it to Rollins. They're going to. You know what? Dean could retain. Because it would be weird if Raw had the WWE champion, the US champion, the women's champion, the tag team champions, and a cruiserweight division.
True.
So maybe Dean comes out with it. But then to do that, you'd have to have Dean pin Roman. Because you can't have him pin Rollins. Oh, God. This is hard. Steve, I'm going to think about it. You go first.
I'm going to, just from what I've kind of gathered and collected, like, you can't have Roman win just because the pure fact you're telling the audience and you're telling the talent, you can do something that's against our policies, come back and win the title. Like, you're telling the entire locker room and the entire WWE universe that is privy to the information that was given that he's a cheater and that he did something, or like not a cheater, but he did something to violate a policy within the company that is very important. You can do that, come back and win. No, that, like, to me that just tells everybody that, like, you know what, just do whatever you want, just do all the drugs, take all the roids you want, you can be a champion, it doesn't matter.
That is a giant middle finger to the audience. Like,
yeah, and Benny, and the locker room.
Yes.
And the locker room.
The locker room as well. I think at that point there would be a rebellion. I think you would see a lot of guys.
They don't do that pay-per-view anymore.
Benny, you're doing good at listing these. You're doing good at listing these old pay-per-views.
I think at that point you would see a mutiny.
No, that wasn't a pay-per-view.
Okay, good.
Insurrection was the other one.
You would see a mutiny on someone's couch. On your couch.
Wait, in the house.
It was in your house, Benny. House. God damn it.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what it is? I got in your house mixed up with this fake pay-per-view I made that's making fun of that. Anyway.
You are a special person.
I am a very special person. You would see, I think, a mutiny at that point. I think a lot of guys would walk out. I mean, you're already, like, realistically thinking John Cena is already, like, kind of starting to back away. Randy Orton's already starting to back away. We don't know what Lesnar's going to be doing. So right now, the guy that you've been pushing just violated a massive policy, and it's time. Like, this is one moment where you could finally get things right, and you're going to allow the guy that just made the biggest mistake.
Yeah, imagine the backlash from that.
Sean.
It would be like Armageddon.
Sean, what if, I mean, I'm kind of thinking this through my head. It kind of doesn't make sense, but, like, what if Roman turned heel and went right after Dean right away and, like, helped Rollins win and became, like, his crony?
I don't think they would do that.
Nah, I don't think so either.
But could that like, make up?
No.
I don't think I could make it up.
No.
Nah, that would.
Though, but that, far, story would be, far, that story would be money as, in the bank.
Oh, Benny. But as far as my pick, I'm gonna have to go with Dean just because like they're trying to get. I'm gonna have to go with Dean just because like it would be silly to put the champion on SmackDown as a sign of saying like, yeah, we want like some reason to watch SmackDown and then just take it away.
That's why this is so hard, because they haven't told us what's going on with the titles.
Yeah,
how can we pick? How can we make a prediction about this if we don't know what's going on with the titles?
We got to be careful. Sean's gonna hurt himself.
Sean's gonna hurt himself thinking, and that's not good. Anyway,
oh, that's bad.
Sean, that's
bad blood.
Okay. I'm gonna agree with Steve. I'm gonna say Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
So, right. Dean Ambrose. I took Seth Rollins. You guys might have convinced me to take Dean Ambrose. But speaking of Dean Ambrose, yours truly had a very great opportunity presented to him at work. So, as most people know, I work at a radio station that will go unnamed for now. WWE. The WWE is coming to.
I'm just confused. Like, how do they know that you work at a radio station if they don't know where it is?
Well, if they've seen on Facebook, I obviously work at a radio station.
Oh. Well, not everyone's friends with you on Facebook, Benny.
No, not everyone is. And I'm sorry about that. Friend request me if you don't mind. But if you want more of
Make sure you plug that at the end
status.
Of the show.
Yes.
Yeah, plug your Facebook at the end, Benny.
Which is just Benny Pinella. If you had to put Benny in there and just see Benny and then just literally type in the word P and I'm like the second person there. I at work had the great opportunity to interview Dean Ambrose because WWE is doing a house show in Newark, Delaware. And of course, Dean is advertised for the show to defend it against Kevin Owens. He's a really cool guy. I've actually, I like Dean Ambrose before that, but I really have a little bit more of a connection with Dean now because, like, of course, talking to him, getting to know him a little bit. He's a really
buddies?
Nice guy. No.
Buddies.
Though he did say, he goes, later, bro. And I was like, oh, God, that's cool. But But I asked him if he, because the station I work at just so happens to play majority country music, I asked him if he liked country. And to my surprise, he's a big country fan.
Oh yeah, he fits that description. I don't doubt that.
He likes like old country, like Waylon Jennings and Shooter Jennings,
like Merle Haggard, yeah.
Merle Haggard, and Willie Nelson, which just so happened to be the celebrity he wanted to meet the most. Because I had to ask him a couple of fluffer questions at the end, along with other questions.
Oh
but,
my!
He was in character the entire time. I
hate when they do that.
But I wanted to do it because the station's going to use it for something, so I wanted him to be in character versus just being Jonathan Good. I wanted him to be Dean Ambrose.
Laid-back Dean.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, he was out there. I mean, he would ramble on for, like, I want to say, like, minutes. He would just talk about, like, I really can't even describe it. Like, he would just talk about, like, life, and then, like, he would just snap back to talking about the title match, and it's just like, okay. But he was cool. He was a really cool guy, and hopefully we'll be able to get the audio up at some point. If not, I'll be able to post it to my Facebook page within the next couple of days as we're planning on what to do with it. But that was my big story. So I'm really just so humbled by that experience and so excited to interview Dean Ambrose, and it was cool.
I think Dean Ambrose is going to be in my neck of the woods on Saturday doing a autograph session.
Yes.
In Voorhees. Yes. I will not be going. However, I know last time a friend of the show, Jobo, went to the autograph signing that Dean Ambrose was supposed to be at and said they replaced him with AJ Styles, said he was a nice guy. So I'm assuming, you know, Dean Ambrose is probably a good guy, too.
Dean Ambrose is a really nice guy. Again, I think Sean, you said it in our off show group chat. He is a little bit spacey and he's a little bit out there. And I got that. I mean, he at one point said that he hadn't slept at all that night. And then he started rambling.
He said it on TV, too.
Yeah, he apparently doesn't get much sleep. So I don't know what that means.
That's actually true too. He's talked about that, like when he's been out of character on like other, like he went on the Sam Roberts wrestling podcast, and he's just like, I don't sleep. Like I get to the hotel and I stay on my phone and I just stay awake and I check out like what gyms and the restaurants around. He's like, I'll maybe get like an hour or two of sleep every night.
Hey, that's crazy. That's more than Vince does.
Yeah, geez, Vince McMahon and Dana White like just are so perpetually stressed at having to talk to people. Like they get maybe 30 minutes of sleep a week. I feel
that's
like
insane.
God.
Oh God. I was about to say something. I forgot. Oh,
your announcement.
No, it was something about Dean Ambrose and I can't remember what it was. Oh now I remember. If the episode of Ride Along was any indication, he seems like a fun guy to be around too.
Oh, he was
Catherine Zeta Jones.
I will tell you, I played the interview for a guy I work with at the station that's on air, and he goes, that sounded like a really, really fun interview. Now, granted, I was only supposed to get 8 minutes.
Oh, even that's a little long.
Dean Ambrose gave me 18 minutes.
That's awesome. That's really cool, Benny.
He was really, really cool. And I even spoke to a woman that worked for the WWE, and she was really chill as well. So, we have this perception that WWE is like a lot of these guys are very stuck up. Dean Ambrose is a really down-to-earth guy. So if Dean ever ends up listening to this, probably won't.
So, Benny, Dean, when are you going to get the interview with Roman Reigns?
I probably will never get that interview ever in my life.
And if you do, I hope he never listens to this show.
That's the one question I thought about writing down, asking him about the Shield triple threat and putting in the details about Roman Reigns. I didn't because I didn't know how he was going to react to it.
They probably would have cut you off at that point.
I played it very safe. I played it very safe in this interview, which is something I'm guilty of doing in certain interviews. But I just felt like with this.
Well, I mean, that's smart with that, Benny. You don't want to come on like, hey, what do you think about your friend doing roids?
Yeah.
And I know that the guy originally that they had scheduled for the interview, he had written down a question along the lines of that or something. And I just said, let me take this.
Yeah. I mean, so they,
also
they asked,
I'm a lone WWE fan.
They asked John Cena about it, on ESPN last night. And, he had a very PC response.
He's Mr. Media. He knows exactly what to say.
I know.
The time.
And he can speak all the languages too.
I know it's crazy.
I was very impressed. I was really impressed by his monologue at the ESPYs.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That was pretty good. I enjoyed it. There were some jokes that just kind of weren't funny, but
like
for the most part. But for the most part, John Cena was pretty entertaining. We have one more topic to get to, and then of course, Sean, you have your announcement. Brock Lesnar and his positive test number 2.
Yep, he got popped twice.
What's going on with this?
Okay, so just to fill everyone in, Brock Lesnar submitted. Well, the big point I would like to make is since Brock Lesnar came into the UFC as like a special one-time off kind of thing, he was exempted from USADA USADA, which is the United States Anti-Doping Association, which is the major drug testing corporation that works with UFC. He was exempt for the four months that.
Exempted for the four months. Wasn't it because also that he retired and it was prior to this whole new change in testing?
Yeah, there was a lot of legal wording that like got there was a lot of big legal like loopholes that got him out of like the really stringent testing.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, he was required to test before and after the main event, and both tests came back hot. And ironically, he got popped for not the same substance, but the same type of substance that John Jones was booted off of the booted off the card for it. It's an anti-estrogen pill, which, to our fans that don't know what that means, when someone is popped for an anti-estrogen substance, that can be an indication that they are coming off of a steroid cycle and are trying to keep their steroids they're trying to keep their estrogen down, because when you come off a cycle of steroids, your endocrine system, which produces testosterone, is very weakened from all the synthetic testosterone in your system. So you have to take anti-estrogen to keep yourself from getting things like gynecomastia, which is also referred to as man boobs, keep you strong, keep you from getting weak, lethargic. Just a whole bunch of health problems can arise from that. I won't go into it. But from what I can gather, they knew that Brock's test came back hot. They knew, and they still let him compete. The interesting part is that the same thing happened to John Jones, and he got booted off the card the night before, which raises a lot of questions that why was Brock exempted from that if they knew that his tests were hot? A lot of questions are raised, and a lot of questions are being asked towards UFC regarding their business policies and towards WWE if they had any prior knowledge that Brock Lesnar was, in fact, on some type of performance-enhancing substance. WWE released a statement that Brock Lesnar had not competed since August, and they had no idea what he was doing because he wasn't required to test because he's a part-time superstar and not on the full-time roster, who, if you are on the full-time roster, you're required to submit tests regularly. But a lot of interesting questions are raised here. There is a big egg on UFC's face, and not so much the WWE, because people still, to the like the general population, associates steroids with WWE. But it's not a good look. One, because they brought in a guy that was possibly on steroids, and two, if they knew he was on steroids and they still let him compete, why is he any different than John Jones?
That's a point
It leaves a lot of questions to be asked.
Well,
for sure.
I mean, we don't know.
Sean, before you go, I want to say something before you go. Bringing up the point about John Jones and Brock Lesnar, that's a point I wanted to say. I was really hard on John Jones because this is multiple times he's been busted. It's weird with Brock Lesnar, and this isn't a race thing. This isn't anything with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's history, there's no prior test. I believe he's clean for the most part. Am I correct?
Or he's just been smart about his cycling and he's never got caught before.
Well, or he's been smart about his cycling.
He's never been caught, but he did do an interview back after he had first left WWE, and he said that he did do steroids during his time in WWE.
Okay. I'm caught in a rock and a hard place here, because I don't know whether to be furious at Brock and lay into the whole entire thing, or I just don't know what to do, because I was really hard on John Jones for what he did and the position he put the UFC in. But this kind of seems like the UFC, if anything, has all the guilt on them. WWE's not at fault here. You could argue
WWE
Brock
still
Lesnar.
Looks really bad for them, too.
It looks bad on a lot of people, but okay, look at what UFC did to John Jones. He pissed hot off, okay? Lesnar, pees hot, on.
But then again, like I was about to say, like we don't exactly know when UFC found out about it. I mean, it very well could have been before the fight actually took place. But you also have to understand, you know, the actual test itself takes a long time for it to come back from the lab, because they're testing for everything. That takes a while, as opposed to a B sample where they can just test one drug that they're looking for. It's very possible that they either found out about it after the fight or maybe right as the fight was about to happen. But, you know, we won't know. And I doubt that the UFC is going to say whether or not they knew.
It's also being said now that it's looking more likely than not that Brock Lesnar is going to have to surrender 75% of his $2.5 million.
75%?
Oh, my God.
75%.
I thought it was only like 50.
No, 75.
Wow.
Now
I read that on MMA Junkie, and it's MMA Junkie is 9 times out of 10 correct with their reports.
Now it's been rumored though that Mark Hunt said that he's going to quit the UFC after that.
Well, I don't blame him. His last like 5 opponents have all been roided up, and he has gotten no a few of them got changed to no contests or whatever, but he hasn't gotten any kind of like back pay or any kind of any kind of, like, I can't think of the word, like,
compensation.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. I couldn't think of that. He hasn't gotten any compensation for fighting these guys that have been juiced to the gills.
And also, if he would have beaten Brock, he may have been a title contender.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, Brock Lesnar came in and ruined the entire UFC heavyweight title picture. Like, he literally just threw the biggest wrench in it, because Mark Hunt was one fight away from being a number one contender. And then it turns out he's on steroids. So it's like, well, now what is just not going to count? Are they going to, if they really do go through with fining Brock, there's a good chance that their fight will be changed to a no contest, because that's normally what happens when one of the competitors gets popped for something. Mm-hmm. So essentially it would be like that loss never happened, but the fans saw it happen. Everyone saw Mark Hunt get wrestled to the ground and thrown around. So he won't have the same kind of mystique and awe around him. But, you know, and like I've said before on the show, I'm a humongous Mark Hunt fan. He's probably my favorite fighter of all time, back like way back in the day when he was in Pride and when he was in K1. He's a legendary striker. He's insane. He's crazy. That being said, he has nothing left to prove. The guy is like he's 41, or he's close. He's up there in age. He has nothing left to prove. Like, he's done everything. I know that he really wants that UFC title shot, and I don't blame him. I'd love to see him get it, but just like, I can see why he's losing heart, and he doesn't trust this company, and he doesn't like want to be a part of it anymore, because they consistently screw him over, and they keep putting him in bad positions. And even though he does well, they continue to put him in bad positions.
Screwing over hardworking employees. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, it creates dissent. Wow, yeah, that's a new one. But that's for as far as that situation goes, it's a mess, and that's all I really have to say about it, because I'll just get too worked up, because this is just, it's just a bad look. It's a really bad look.
I think the irony in this all is that the WWE, before doing business with the UFC, at that point, like Brock Lesnar, at that point, the WWE had a little bit of some issues going on. There were rumors of locker room dissension. Of course, we all know what happened to Stardust and Cody Rhodes. And now it looks like the UFC has inherited this. So if I'm a company and the WWE approaches me, I am turning my back and I am running as fast as I possibly can at this point.
Wait, it's as a business, it's a really bad outlook, because two of their top guys have now been popped for steroids. And there is a lot of dissent itself within the company. If WWE was to approach me, if I was a big business, and say they wanted to work with me, I would probably say no, just given your track record as of lately has not been very good. It would hurt my business, considering UFC is taking a big shot in the public eye for this.
And it's a shame. It's really a shame, because UFC was on a good little run, and now issues. Now, I don't know whether this is the first time this is happening. Oh, my God.
Tons of guys in the UFC even pop for steroids. This isn't the first for that.
But have they been treated like this, where like Lesnar's allowed to fight?
Oh no, no. This Lesnar situation is like one of a kind. There's never been like
My question is: Do Sean and Steve, do you believe this is a conspiracy?
A conspiracy?
Do you believe there's a level of conspiracy here with the Brock Lesnar being popped for steroids, being allowed to fight?
What do you think? Someone tampered his sample? Like, what are you getting at?
No, Benny means along the lines of, like, if it's true that UFC knew and let him fight anyway because they didn't want to cost another big match on the card.
That's exactly what I mean.
I don't know if I'd consider that a conspiracy. I mean, it's totally possible, but we don't know.
Yeah, all I'll really say is, like, something smells fishy, and it's just something is not. There's a big detail missing, and we'll probably never find it out.
Meanwhile, Dana White counts as millions, so weird things are happening.
He got a little bit of that $4 billion from the buyout.
Jesus.
Which brings up another interesting point. He's a big supporter of Donald Trump.
Yes, he is. Which also brings up another big point. How is WME going to look at all this after buying this company? They might not be too happy with their decision as of now.
Oh, no.
Not just with Brock, but with John and all the other mess going on.
I don't think that they care about Brock all that much, unless it comes out that they did know. But how would that come out? You know,
that's true. Yeah, it won't. If that is the truth, they'll bury that where no one can find it.
I think the John Jones thing is a more problematic issue than Brock Lesnar.
Because he has a documented substance abuse, and that is not a good look for a company to be supporting someone that has a documented substance abuse problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, a lot of craziness is happening, and of course, we're going to have all your rumors and all your stories here on Blah Blah Sports. Well, that is it for the Battleground.
Wait, what about Sean's announcement?
Come on.
Yeah, Sean, you have a big... what's your big announcement, Sean?
It's not an announcement. It's just something I saw online that I wanted to pass along. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there was a survey that came out from WWE about possible WWE network shows that they're thinking about putting on that they'd like to gain interest of their viewers and see which of these people would like to see. And I'd like to run down the list of possible WWE network shows that could debut in the future.
Okay, let's hear this.
All right, we have a show called Ask Me Anything Live, which is an interactive Q&A.
Oh, my God.
With WWE talents. So.
Oh, my God.
Nothing could go wrong there.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, no. There's going to be no, like, show me your boob questions or anything.
Oh, don't put Paige on there.
Or if they have one of the Usos and asking about Roman Reigns.
They got asked that earlier.
We have another show called Everyone Has a Price. That's nothing to do with Ted DiBiase. It's
I was about to say, is he going to be the host?
No, it's well, he could be. I don't know. But it's a reality series scouring the country for the most memorable WWE memorabilia. That's a weird wording.
What is that, like Pawn? Is that like Pawn Stars for WWE?
It sounds like it, yeah. The finding the origin of the items and determining their price. So, yeah, it totally sounds like Pawn Stars. Extreme Eats, which is a show hosted by Tommy Dreamer and Bubba Ray Dudley, where they tour the United States showing off their favorite food locations.
They picked two of the best hosts possible for that.
It's like Triple D.
It is. who's gonna be Guy Fieri though?
I've always
thought that Dudleyville was pretty close to Flavortown.
So far, that's the show I'd probably be the most interested in.
Oh, you're going to like this one better. 50 States, 50 Dates, which is a WWE bachelor goes on 50 dates to find romance. It says this would be a reality show about finding true love while also living your life on the road as a WWE talent. So it's basically like about catching rats.
This is bachelor / bachelorette with a WWE superstar.
Yeah, but it's rat baiting, just like back in the old days.
Oh yeah,
that
rat.
Okay, I think I'm gonna put that one beneath Ask Me Anything Live, which I put number two because I would love to have that show.
We have Goldberg's Garage, which is a reality show about about Goldberg, his wife, and their mechanics restoring American muscle cars at their North Carolina garage.
This is like West Coast Choppers with Goldberg.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it going to be only like 6 minutes?
No.
And at the end, he's going to spear every, like, whatever they make, he's going to spear it and break it up to make it again.
he's going to give it the jackhammer. He's going to, like, some guy, like, has a motorcycle. He's just going to jackhammer the motorcycle.
We have History of WWE, which is a 10-part documentary series taking fans from the beginning of the WWE through the launch of the network. It sounds kind of like the Monday Night Wars documentary they did, the 10-part documentary. But this is,
I was about to say, I feel like I've watched that before.
It sounds like a professor is asking you to buy their textbook on history and then just ripping out like a bunch of pages that they don't want you to read.
Well, they also, they've done this already. They have a DVD out that's the 50-year history of WWE. Like, they've done this.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, I feel like I've watched this before.
It's going to be that chopped up.
This is the one I want to see.
Here we go.
Legends House Attitude, which is the sequel to Legends House, but it's with 1990s legends. So basically the Attitude Era. So people from the Attitude Era, you can get...
Okay. I'd watch the hell out of that.
Put Val Venus in there. He can prescribe everything to everyone. You could put Gangrel in there. He could be shooting the porns. You can get... who else could go in there? Kai and Tai if you want them to.
Man.
You could anyone from the Attitude Era. You could put... who else would be a good one to put in there?
Definitely X-Pac.
X-Pac could go in there.
Because he could take part in the porn.
Yeah, moving on.
Oh wait, you know, that's right. He made porn with the dead lady. I'm sorry, China.
Yeah.
You know what show I really, really want to see? And they're never gonna do this. But like I want them to do a show if they ever end up signing the Hardys again. do a show with Hardy and Wyatt, where like it's like a sitcom where like the Hardys live next to the Wyatt's compound.
What is it like? The Final Deletion versus the compound?
No, it's just the antics of like Matt Hardy doing crazy stuff and like.
I don't
want to
see
like,
that because then they're going to do the Wyatt thing with all the filters and shit. I don't want to watch that.
Oh.
Well, so far my vote is split for shows because I think Extreme Eats would be an interesting show.
Do you think on Extreme Eats that he'll like drink out of the urinal like before and they'll like eat the Undertaker's chew?
And I bet like and Sandman will show up and like drink old beer.
I mean, this is Tommy Dreamer's the guy who drank water out of the urinal and ate a urinal cake. I don't know if I should trust him when it comes to food.
This place has the best urinal cakes.
This place has warm beer and cold urinal cakes.
Oh, God.
Tommy, you can't eat urinal cake.
I mean, out of all of those, Ask Me Anything would get interesting.
We're not even halfway done.
I feel like Ask Me Anything would have like three shows and then would just stop.
Kind of like the Renee Young show.
Yep. Paige would be on it and be like, show me your butt.
Why are you asking questions, Steve?
Hey, it may or may not have been me.
Del Rio would go on and they'd just be like, "Hey, how's Paige? How's Paige doing? How's Paige?" And just get really angry.
How's Paige in bed? How's Paige? How's Paige in bed?
We have. I really don't like this title. It's Miz and Mrs., which is
oh no.
It's a reality show about the Miz and Murrays.
No, thank you.
Oh.
You see enough of that on TV.
Yeah. We have, Talking SummerSlam, which is a post-pay-per-view talk show like The Talking Dead.
Oh, no. Why? That's just the
That's a bad title.
But why just for SummerSlam? Ugh, whatever.
I think
no.
that they're...
That's dumb.
I think it would just be talking whatever after... SummerSlam.
Just call it The Slam. Just call it The Slam.
Come on and slam.
Or why don't you just do a post show that's called The Post Show?
Yeah, why do we have to make it so difficult?
Generic post show.
Hosted by
Tom Phillips.
We have something called Tap Out Fitness, which is WWE stars sharing their training tips.
I would actually watch that.
But they're going to get like Curtis Axel on there.
No, they'd get like Roman and they'd get like Sheamus and stuff. Sheamus, I follow Sheamus on Snapchat and literally all of his Snapchats are his daily workouts. It's actually probably one of the more entertaining things I watch on Snapchat because that guy trains like a monster.
I can imagine.
I didn't know Sheamus had a Snapchat.
Yeah, it's Sheamus RUA.
Steve, are you following Paige on Snapchat?
I tried, but it's private.
Yeah, she had to privatize it because she was doing a lot of adult-based things there.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Benny's right. She had a public, like, WWE Snapchat, but she was, like, drinking a lot on it and, like, constantly drunk, so they told her to stop, and she just said, screw it, I'm not using it anymore. And she made a Snapchat called Soraya Beavis, but it's private. And I've tried Alberto Del Rio. I've tried Alberto Patron. I can't get in. I can't get in. Paige, call me.
Oh, I love this one. I would watch this one. It's called The Third Wheel. It's two WWE fans go on a blind date without knowing they're going to be joined by a WWE superstar.
Oh my God. Can you imagine me and some girl and like Braun Strowman?
Hey, you guys hungry?
So Braun,
where else
have you wrestled? WWE. Any place else?
I wrestled at the compound. Or like two guys going to date and Darren Young joins and like, oh hey, what a coincidence.
Oh.
Or what if one of them's not even a fan and then like, you know, the one starstruck and the woman's just like, oh, who cares?
Yeah, who's that guy? I don't know who that is. It's like that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's like big deal.
My name's John Cena. Oh, nice to meet you.
Why are you on our date?
What? Nice to meet you. What do you do? Johnny, you don't know who this is? No, I don't know who this is. John Cena just gets up and ate.
Fun story, actually, on a situation like that. My dad went to a bar down in Florida a little while ago, and he ran into what's the one announcer from NXT? The other guy, I can't think of his name.
Tom Phillips.
No, not Tom Phillips. Yeah, no, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, that is Tom. Yeah, he ran into Tom Phillips because he said a bunch of people were talking to him, and he sent me a picture. I was like, "That's Tom Phillips."
Was he spreading his legs to make him look smaller?
Yeah, he was man spreading.
Yeah.
There's a really good GIF, or they call them GIFs, I guess. I don't care.
That's a whole debate.
There's a really good GIF where it's a Kevin Owens promo with Tom Phillips as the guy, and as we know, Tom Phillips is like 6'4". So the camera pans over to Tom Phillips and then snaps back to Owens, then like kind of slowly starts to pan over to Phillips again, and Phillips goes from like being like 3 inches taller than Owens to being like 2 inches shorter. It's really funny. But yeah.
Well, anyway, speaking of Tom Phillips, the next show, Totally NXT, which is a reality competition series with six women who try to make their way through developmental for a chance at a main roster slot and a Total Divas cast membership.
So this is the Divas switch for NXT?
Seems like it.
It still sounds like.
I want that term dead in the water. Oh, speaking of Tom Phillips, we haven't even talked about the announcers.
Oh, damn. Okay, we'll talk about it as soon as we get done with this.
Yes.
We have The Wives of Flair, which is a series about the love life of Ric Flair and his four ex-wives.
Oh, my God.
No, you can't.
Oh, my God.
You can't do that.
Someone tell me someone got fired for that. That's insane.
I don't think that one's going to be popping up.
I'm crying. Oh my God. You can't do that. What? Okay. Please read the next show.
The next one is WB All Access, which is a reality series following main eventers as they prepare for major level matches like WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
That's just 24.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
just
much.
WWE 24.
I was about to say, that's pretty much 24.
Like, what do you like do? 20, like, what do you do? Like a WWE All Access Darren Young? Like, who cares?
I mean, Benny, 24.
It said main eventers.
Oh, main eventers?
Oh.
You've done one on Reigns. You've done one on Rollins.
I like 24, but yeah, that just seems like the same thing pretty much.
We have WWE Game Night, which is basically the same as the YouTube show, I guess, just expanded.
I was about to say that already exists. That show is great because the last show, Paige was twerking while playing Twister.
Oh.
And I may have added 10,000 views to that video.
Just from you.
Yeah, just from me. Like, if you look at the view count, it'll all be in
carpal tunnel.
Some of the examples that they listed for games were like dodgeball, obstacle courses. And Pictionary.
I literally want to see like Eric Rowan play Zack Ryder in like Connect Four.
Dodgeball. I want to watch him play dodgeball. I want to watch Braun Strowman take on like four.
Zack Ryder throws the ball and like Eric Rowan catches it, like looks at Zack Ryder and just crushes the ball, and Zack Ryder's like,
game's over.
We have
Zack Ryder just flips down sunglasses, goes, hey, and walks away.
We have WWE Investigates, which is 3 to 5 episode miniseries going into a real subject in the history of pro wrestling, and one of the examples was the life and legacy of Eddie Guerrero.
Well, it's going to be kind of tough to bring up that without mentioning a certain Chris Benoit.
Well, why? Why is that?
One of the biggest moments in Eddie Guerrero's career is WrestleMania.
Just don't show WrestleMania. Show when he won it at No Way Out.
Yeah, that's true.
We have WWE Goes Viral, which is the best WWE viral videos, including one submitted by fans.
No, thank you. Please, no, thank you.
We have WWE Kids with an exclamation point. It says Kids and Superstars. Kids interview WWE superstars, compete against them in games, and call the action for in-ring action.
Ugh, no.
So that's kid commentators.
It's a cute idea, but no, thank you.
That I think the worst idea they, I mean, overall the worst idea they had is either Ask Me Anything, or it's the Ric Flair Wives thing. I'm gonna put the Ric Flair Wives thing as the worst thing they could have to come up with, because only because I kind of want Ask Me Anything to work, just so I can ask people like ridiculous questions.
We have WWE Promo Battle, which is WWE talents go head to head in improv wars in a tournament style setting where the audience and social media as well as a panel of judges determine who moves forward until they crown a promo battle champion.
That is WWE American Idol.
Well, it kind of sounds like a Who's Line sort of show, except it's like tournament style.
So I would watch that, because it would probably be funny.
Yeah, see how, you know, people do, like, just it, look at people's personalities when they do improv. You know,
it'd be good. It'd be good.
I feel like Xavier Woods is gonna win that.
It'd be good practice for the stars too.
Yeah, like,
ooh,
like
Xavier
Kalisto.
Woods versus Kevin Owens. That would be interesting.
No, like, I want to see Kalisto on the show.
What if you get like Bray Wyatt talking about something like how he's like a champion banana eater?
That could happen.
Off the trees.
I eat him, man.
We have WWE Superstar Search.
Kill you, banana.
We have WWE Superstar Search, which is hosted by Lita and Trish Stratus, who will be at Battleground this Sunday. A competition reality series with 10 women competing for a WWE contract. So basically the Diva Search.
Yeah, it's another Diva Search.
As you said hosted by Lita, I was like, nope.
And the final one, which I think is the best one that they have, it's called WWE Roast, which would be like roast of someone.
Yes.
And the subject that they mentioned in the article is John Cena. So the roast of John Cena.
Yes! God.
That would be great.
That's fantastic. And then the next one could be Roman Reigns.
Stone Cold Steve Austin did a roast of Zakk Wylde, the guitarist for Black Sabbath and Black Label Society. And
yeah, I remember that.
That was one of his funniest segments ever. I left my ass off it.
You know what? I feel like they could do a lot there, because they have a lot of people in the WWE that just have great senses of humor, like Randy Orton.
Yeah. And no, he'll just forget what he's going to say and just pose like he always does.
Exactly. Or he'll yell at Kofi Kingston again.
Yeah.
Guy will just make a joke at him. He'll just get up from his chair, walk away, and he'll just hear him in the back going, Kofi!
Yeah. Okay. So really quick, the announcing situation on both shows, they've switched things up. We have on Raw is going to be Michael Cole, Byron Saxton will remain there, and Corey Graves moving up for Raw.
That was just such a kick in the nuts.
And then on SmackDown, we have Mauro Ranallo, obviously, staying there. David Otunga, for some reason, coming back
in. Because he's doing a great job.
And JBL. So JBL goes from doing a horrible job on Raw to working with Mauro Ranallo, and then Corey Graves is fed to Michael Cole.
Hopefully Mauro could rein in JBL, but I don't know.
I feel like that's just such a kick in the nuts. Like, that was the one thing we wanted really bad.
If you could have got Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo working together, that would be like the commentary team to watch.
I'm just wondering if this is going to affect NXT in any way, because...
Oh, it is.
I mean, normally NXT tapes on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, so it's not on Monday, Tuesday. But, like, Corey Graves is still going to be doing the SmackDown pre-show. And, you know, he's going to be doing commentary on Raw. I assume he's going to be doing... Pre-show? Well, see, that's the thing. We don't... If they're doing brand separate pay-per-views, he would still be doing...
Excuse me.
And he's just gonna be a busy guy.
Yeah, he will be. He's gonna be all over the place.
This begs the question, and of course we'll wrap this up immediately after this, but this begs the question, who's replacing Corey Graves?
I don't know if he's being replaced. I really don't know. He might stay on NXT. I always thought that the best thing to do was, if you were gonna bring Corey Graves up, groom Daniel Bryan using the Cruiserweight Classic, groom him up to be the new color guy for NXT. and then have him do that.
Which they still might do.
Talk about a great announcing team, though. Mauro Ranallo and Daniel O'Brien on the Cruiserweight Classic.
We'll talk about the Cruiserweight Classic next week because we're out of time. Yep. But
yeah, that would be a whole other hour.
But the Cruiserweight Classic is probably the best television that they're doing right now.
Aside from NXT,
without a doubt,
I think it's slightly better than NXT. Yeah,
I agree with Sean.
Well, I guess I'll have to put in some time and watch it at some point when my schedule comes down.
The Jerry's on tonight. You'll like it.
Oh yes, I want to see some green mist.
Well, we'll see. I don't want to promise anything.
I don't think he's doing it anymore, but we'll see. But anyway, that does it for Blah Blah Sports. Talking about a lot on today's show. Of course, talk about the draft, Battleground preview, talking a little bit about a big surprise on both ends. Sean, of course, had his segment. So it was a fun show overall. Hope you enjoyed it. You can follow me on Twitter at the BNP Express. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well. And Sean, where can people follow you?
Well, Benny, aren't you going to tell them about your Facebook page as well?
I did. You can friend me on Facebook.
At Benny Pinello.
At Penny Bonella.
You hear that, everyone? Penny Bonella. You can find him right there.
You're not going to find anything weird there.
Yeah, God.
I really hope there's like a parody account of me where it's like some guy with a mustache. It's like, nah, just my face and the mustache. It's like, meh.
Well, obviously it can't be you. You and facial hair just don't go together.
No.
I know what I'm going to make when I'm going to make when we finish.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. You can follow me on Twitter at @the_Brack Show. Yeah, that's well. I mean, I can plug the main show. We did a review of Ghostbusters. It was awful,
I'm going to listen to.
It's the most recent episode, episode 72. Take a listen to it, even though the title doesn't mean anything until you listen to it. But if you want to hear the spoiler filled review of Ghostbusters, go right ahead.
And finally, Steve, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on. excuse me, this cold is killing me. You can follow me on Twitter at @SaiyanBarbarian. If you don't know how to spell it by now, I'm not telling you anymore. And if you're following me, unfollow me, and then follow me again.
Jesus.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is IronHerYard1991, which I also will not be spelling, because if you don't know it by now, you don't get to know it.
Damn.
Well, that does it for us here. We're all kind of banged up as well. I know Steve has a cold, Sean, you have a bad back, and I pinched a nerve in my neck. So right now, the Blah Blah Sports team, we're all just where the WWE was like a couple months ago. But anyway, that does it for us here at Blah Blah Sports. We'll be talking to you next week after Battleground. Take care.
Next to the last time you went at it alone, you became the United States champion. What can we expect from you on SmackDown Live?
Well, hey, I'm here, like I said before, I'm here to shock the world. I'm ready. I'm ready to show my lucha art inside and outside the ring. But first of all, I can't stop thinking about Baron Corbin being on SmackDown. I get to have my revenge. Is that scary? Hey, like I said, I'm here to stay. Make a good lucha thing.
Kalisto, excited to be on SmackDown Live on Tuesday nights. Renee and the panel, we're going to send it back to you.